out. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. How many of you are glad like I am and thankful for the helper?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. And you know, I appreciate that Bible verse that was come up. Pastor Dan talked about out of 1 Corinthians yesterday and then Acts 3:19. Times of refreshing come from being in the presence of the Lord. I like what the Amplified says. Come in into a nice place and recover from the effects of the heat. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we've been through the fiery trials, but how many of you are glad there's a refuge? There's a place to come in out of the effects of the heat. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I'm like Pastor Dan. You know me. I like to get after it and do whatever God says, running, dancing, swinging off the lights, whatever we need to do. I'm all open to that. Amen. Glory to God. But if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles back up, if you would, to Acts 17. We were recently in Merced, California, and we had been over in Modesto and San Francisco area, and then we stopped off at Merced. And we were there, and seemed like this kind of thing's happening all the time now in the services. The glory of God roll in, and things begin to happen. And, you know, and I was there at Pastor Johnny and Pastor Debbie's, and I was like, Lord, what do we do with this? And he said, go right ahead and teach. And it was something that he's been talking to me about, and I'll explain a little bit more of it. But one of the things that God began to talk to me last year about was in the doors that he will open. And we know that there's doors of services and different things. But he said, you need to dig around in Colossians 4 and look at the door of utterance. And he said, it's something that'll begin to happen in your meetings. Well, again, I never told nobody. But there were things said that Tuesday night out there I've never said before in my life. We all sitting there like amazed, like, dear God, we've never heard nothing quite like this before. But it lined up with the Bible. And the glory rolled in. Well, I thought we was all going to just swing and run and carry on all night. But then after we got through with the teaching and there was doors of utterance open, we sure enough had a time. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and go after this for a little bit. And you know, if we miss it, we'll just throw this message out and go do something else. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. But how many know we trust the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, we read it yesterday, we'll read again tonight. Father, we love and thank you and praise you, and we do thank you, sir, for the things that you've been talking to us about in the area of open doors, the door of utterance. And we thank you that is a place where things begin to be said that have never been said. Things, as we know, as many services that we've been in, all of us together here, even here and other places, that there are times when songs will actually fall out of heaven. They're pulled out of heaven. And there are words and things sung by inspiration. And it comes directly from heaven. Well, glory to God, why can't we teach that way too? So we thank you, Father. We understand we can speak by inspiration. But there's things that you're beginning to reveal about doors of utterance. And so, Father, we thank you. Glory to God. Amos and Daniel both talked about this time. Daniel, the Spirit of God told him, he said, seal up these things till the time of the end. Not the end of time, but the time of the end. And he said, there will be things. I know some things are spoken to Israel. But I believe, too, there is things now that will come forth from the Word of God as we've never seen it before. And, Father, we give you all glory and honor. Brother Hagin told us. He said, there's some things I want to say, but he said, I can't because we're not ready. Glory to God, I believe we're ready. Glory to God, I believe we're there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you that we're still alive. We're still on planet Earth. Glory to God. We understand what's next step. That's glory. That's eternity. But we thank you we're still here. We still have time to fulfill the plan of God for our life. And we give you, sir, all praise, all glory, and all honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 17, verse 26. It says here, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face, or to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times. If you don't mind, say determined the times, please. And then says, before appointed in the bounds of their habitation. Everybody say, God set my boundaries. So how many of you know you were born at the right time? Would you agree with me? There's not anybody in this room that was an accident. How many know you were born at the right time? You were born to the right group of people? Now, how many know there's only three groups of people on planet Earth? That's all there are. 1 Corinthians 10:32 says so. Paul said, give no offense neither to the Jews, the Gentiles, or the church of God. You know, sometimes people in the world, they want to distinguish between, you know, whether we were took out of a white dirt pile or yellow dirt pile or a black dirt pile. How many know there's only three groups? You're either a Jew, a Gentile, or in the church of God. Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
So how many of you know we all used to be Gentiles? I have a man in my church who is a Jewish man. He was adopted. But he's came by the way of cross, accepted Jesus. How many know he is a Jew by the blood? But how many know he's a Christian by the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. So everybody say Jews, Gentiles, and church of God.
Jews,
so what group you in?
Church of God.
Why? Because you're saved, right?
Yeah.
So anything written to the Jews in the Bible, don't try to put the church in there. You'll become confused. Anything God has said about the Jews where it says even the very elect would be deceived. People always try to put the church there. Amen. Not talking to the church. He's talking to the Jewish nation. He said, pray that your flight not be in winter. Amen. Well, I mean, no, we don't care whether it's winter, summer, fall, between fall, mid-fall, when the rapture happens, we're leaving.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. So we understand these things. So there's nobody here by accident. Is that right? So does God have a plan for your life at this time on planet Earth?
Yes.
If you don't mind, go back again to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at this scripture again together. We looked at it yesterday morning. Romans 8, 28, King James read, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We went through some things that qualifies this verse. But I love this. In the Amplified, it reads this way. We are assured to know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into His plan. For good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. Then in the Living Bible, it says all that happens to us in working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plan. Look at somebody say, I am fitting into His plan. Does God have a right to set our life?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. What's the next step for us to find out about it? Yeah. It's not hard, is it?
No.
But how many of you agree with me? We can trust Him.
Yes.
Look at two people, if you don't mind, say, I can trust Him.
I can trust Him.
And we understand in the trusting, it is developed, right?
Yeah.
We know that when we first became saved, God would ask us certain things. And wherever we were with our measure of faith, God would ask us things. Perhaps it would stretch us. But how many of you know the way we trusted God then is smaller than the way we trust God now? Why? Because we have developed. But in that, if we have a right to ask God at times, God, can I trust you with this? Then how many of you know God has every right to ask us if He can trust us? And the more God can trust us, the more He will put under our hands.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I remember Brother Hagin told the story about a lady that was called to go. She had a dream, a very supernatural dream. Saw herself leave the U.S., go to China, and start an orphanage. And she had 1,000 children. She saw that. Very vivid. Knew it was God. Went 10 years, was there. And it never got over, I believe, 100 children. And in that, she finally, you know, she wasn't complaining. She just went to God and she said, God, I had the dream. I know it was you. How come I saw 1,000 children? I've been here 10 years. I only have 100 kids. He said, I had to know if I could trust you. The more He can trust you, the more He'll put into your hands and the more He'll put under your hands. Many times people want just to, okay, Lord. Thank you. I believe that. Glory. But we're growing, aren't we?
Yes.
All right. Now, go if you would, 2 Timothy 1, please. 2 Timothy 1. And let's look at this together, 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. He says in 2 Timothy 1, 9, who hath saved us, called us with what? A holy calling, not according to our works. How many of you know I might as well throw my plan out the window? Amen. How about you? All right. Not according to our works, but according to his what? His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Is that right?
Yes.
So how were you and I called? We were called according to whose purpose?
Yes.
His purpose. You remember we said yesterday that one of the definitions of purpose, not all, but one, means proposal. When I proposed to my wife Sally, I made my intentions known. God will reveal steps of his intentions for your life as you go from that step to this step. He will not show you the whole deal. He will give you glimpses of your future. But he'll not show you the whole thing, because then it requires no faith on your or my part to walk it out. But he'll show you bits and pieces. But I mean, you know, we are called according to his intentions, what he has in mind for us, or his purpose. My life is not my own. I have been bought with a price, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19. How about you?
Yes.
Amen. So does God have a right to ask of us anything?
Yes.
Sure. All right, now if you would please, go back to Romans. Romans 9. Romans chapter 9, please. Romans chapter 9. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Romans 9, please. And let's look, Romans 9, at about verse 20. Romans 9, verse 20 and 21. It says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repellest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me this way? Verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay? Who's the potter? God is. Who's the clay? We are, right? Well, how many of you agree with me? God can mold and shape us any way he wants to. One of our sons, Joey, our oldest, he used to come home when he's in kindergarten. He learned that song, I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout, tip me over and all that. Well, how many of you know that God has a right to mold us, shape us, because he knows what type of vessel or things that we need to contain we will be. And he has every right. That's why in 2 Timothy it talks about that in a great house there are many different vessels. Amen? And every vessel, I think here in some translations it says, wouldn't God have a right to make one vase that would hold flowers and another one for cooking beans? But God gets to say. But here's the thing I want you to begin to see, that as you trust the Holy Ghost and God begins to ask you to do different things, there is purpose to every one of them. You and I might not know. Number one, it's to develop a trust relationship. We say we trust God, but God sometimes will ask people to pack up and move across the country and they'll never do it. I've had people tell me before, they'd say, well, you know, God's telling me to do this, and a year later ask him, how's that going? Well, you know, I just ain't got to it yet. And see, the thing of it is do they really trust God? Can you trust God with your life? Thank you for that one amen. Can you trust God with your life?
Yes.
Can you trust God if he asks of you anything? Can you trust him?
Yes.
Absolutely. So how many know? Can you trust God?
Yes.
Well, would you agree with me? The next question is, can he trust you? Because the more he can, the more he'll give you.
Amen.
And see, it's the year of prosperity and it's the year of glory. And I started asking God, I said, God, what about some of those meetings like Brother Hagin had? What about, why aren't we seeing more and more of the glory, different things? He said, can I trust you with it? Amen. How many know he can trust us?
Yes.
Glory to God. But I'm hungry for more.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen.
Yes.
All right, now if you would, let's go over a little bit further. Just a little bit further. Well, how many of you were here yesterday? Remember Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What's he going to do? Direct your path. Amen. How many of y'all want God to direct your path besides me?
Yes.
All right, now let's go to Galatians 3, please. Glory to God forevermore. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians 3, 6. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Right?
Yes.
Then verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham, right? The King James says faithful. I know other translations says believing Abraham, I believe. Now, in this, write these two things down if you don't mind. Out of these two verses, Abraham had faith in God, meaning Abraham did trust God. God called Abraham faithful, meaning God trusted Abraham. When God began to bless the children of Israel, one of the warnings that he gave in Deuteronomy was he said, when you live in goodly houses and you eat bread without scarceness, and you have more than enough and da-da-da, what did he tell them? Deuteronomy 8, remember? He said, don't forget me in the day of increase. And then in verse 18, he said, and never forget it is I that giveth you the ability or power to accumulate and produce wealth.
Yeah.
Amen.
But the warning was what? Isn't it amazing? People will come to a local church and they'll come. Perhaps they're divorced or their marriage is on the rocks and their kids are a mess and they don't have money. And they'll come to a local church and they'll sit under a pastor and God will begin to minister to them the Word of God like never before. And they'll pay attention. They'll begin to incorporate it in their life. And you look down the road 3 or 4 years, they've got a job, they got a car, their marriage is fixed, everything's good. And then before long they buy a boat and you don't see them no more. Amen. How many of you know? See, there's tests of obedience. And the thing of it is, God will never give you something to destroy you. And he's got to know the more you get, the better with it you will handle it. Jack Cole and some of these guys, 38, way too young to leave planet Earth, but there was such a power given unto them. People that were crippled, different things. Tumors would come off and brand new skins would grow. Things like that. How many of you know? But it was such a place, the character couldn't keep them there.
Yes.
Amen. And see, once God gets it, I was sharing with a man last night about some things that God talked to me. I was in my pickup headed to cross I-40 out in New Mexico. About 1 a.m. in the middle of the night, he came into my truck and began to talk to me about some things. He said, you're bugging me about the power, about the glory. This was 3 years ago. He said, you just all the time about, Lord, I want to see more of the power. I want to see more of the limbs grow. I want to see limbs grow out and all that. And he said, you've got to understand Romans 11:29. It says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Irrevocable, can't take back. He said, once I release that into your life, I can never take it back. And if your character will not sustain you and keep you there, if your attitude, people begin to talk, whoo, and all that. He said, you got to be able to tell them to God be the glory.
Yeah.
Amen. And don't take up offerings after the little babies get healed. Let that just be done before.
Yeah.
And he said, if you can't take care of that, he said that from that day forward, that anointing won't bless you. It'll start working against you.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I can never take it back. So he said, teach these things. Help the family come up because we're a hungry bunch.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the things that Brother Keith Moore said that added so much more to us in Numbers 12:3, it says that Moses was one of the meekest men on planet Earth. But isn't it interesting that he was also the most mightily used in his generation? And meekness is one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, with also faithfulness. Amen. You know, how many of you agree with me? God used you to do something. How many of you know we ought to have enough sense to say, to God be the glory.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, we sat underneath Brother Hagin, and I never saw a man more humble than him. I'm telling you, God used him. He'd point at people. They'd walk out of wheelchairs and stuff, but it never bothered him. Never bothered. Because he knew, to God be the glory. Sometimes when we get over, you know, all of our bills are paid, all the houses are paid for, we get another house, we get two or three houses, all of a sudden we're an expert on finances and we can't talk to people no more. How many know money changed you? You wasn't quite ready. Is this all right, everybody? Amen. See, I told you we're going to run and shout in a minute. But amen. Right now, you know, we'll get you healed up in a little bit. Amen. Glory to God. But see, these are some things, you know, that God's talked to me about. He says, you're bothering me with this. You're bugging me. And I am. I'm hungry for it. Brother Hagin told us before he left. The power gifts. Pray about that. Dr. Dufresne saw some things in the way. Now he's on the other side. Some of these others, they're getting up in their 80s. How many know? We used to be the young kids on the block. How many know? We ain't that young no more. Amen. We feel young. We look young, but we ain't young. Amen. Glory to God. So how many of you know some of these older ones are going on? We got to get this. Hallelujah. Look, somebody say, we got to get this. Amen. Glory to God. Now, go over, if you would, please, to Ezekiel. Exodus. Exodus 16. Let's look at this here. Glory to God. We hit it yesterday briefly. Let's hit her again. Glory to God. Look at somebody say, I'm hungry for the glory.
I'm hungry for the glory.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Exodus 16. Thank you, Master, for your help and the glory. Thank you, sir. Exodus 16:4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may do what? Test them. Whether they will walk where? In my law or no. Isn't that interesting? What's he doing? Test them. Why is he testing them? See if he can trust them. See if he can trust them. There's going to be some other things that are going to come up more than missing a supper. There's going to be a day they're going to start handling. How many of you believe in God to be handling not $100, but hundreds of thousands of dollars? I am. I'm after it. Glory to God. We're going for it. Amen. You know, Bible says if you can't be faithful with a dollar, you won't be faithful with five. So why was that? What was the test on the dollar for? Amen. Glory to God. See, I had a lady tell us one time, we were in another state, another church, and she told me, she said, Brother, I'm going to bless your ministry soon. My ship comes in. Holy Ghost said, she's lying. She don't support her local church now. I didn't tell her that. Boy, I wanted to. Amen. So I just wrote her off. I'm like, yep, I'll never see her again. Amen. But you know, I would if we were in that town. But how many of you know, if you can't be faithful with the dollar, why are you even quoting the wealth of the wicked's laid up for the just? You need to stop it. You're making the rest of us look bad. Because it's coming to us. Amen. Glory to God. It's different tonight, ain't it? See, this always happens when the glory rolls in. I get over on my, I kind of get a little braver. Amen. Glory. Glory gets on me. I ain't a scaredy freight no more. Amen. Glory to God. I told this couple in the car tonight, he said something to me. I said, Brother, me and my wife, we're fearless. We've raised six kids, and we've went through the change together. There ain't nothing that scares us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Thank you, sir. Glory to God. So, What were they supposed to do every morning or every day? Go get enough food for how many?
One day
for how much? Their family. Then before the Sabbath, what are they supposed to do? Get enough for both days. Look at somebody, say, tests. Tell somebody else, tests. You ever heard God? You ever had a? How many of you men have she money? Money she don't know you got. Amen. I got lots of it. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife's got he money.
Yeah.
Amen.
Lots of it.
Yeah. And so, in that, there was a deal where the Lord said, give that guy, and it was quite a bit. And I'm like, from where? He's like, whatever. Just because she don't know you got it in that place, I do. And all of a sudden you get to thinking, well, Lord, I've been saving up and da-da-da and da-da. How many of you know? You got to remember, this is a test. And we've all been quoting, wealth the wicked, laid up for the just. But we're flunking these tests. And that's why some of you are uncomfortable and your knees are raw. You're about 6 foot tall sitting in a kindergartner class. Amen. And you keep flunking the test. Look at somebody and say, you know, I'm going to pass it tonight. Amen. I'm going to pass this dude. Amen. Glory to God. All right. But see, we talk about children of Israel, and we like, dear God, them folk can't get it right. Let's please, just let's not go there. Because, you know, I mean, and if you've ever studied it, they were given 10 tests. And God never could get them ever past one. 10 tests. God, will God ever use evil to test us? No. James 1 says so, right? Now go with me, if you would, Revelation 3. Glory to God. Is God out to hurt you?
No.
Look at somebody say, I got enough sense now I know he's trying to get me to my next place. God trying to get you broke?
No.
No, he's trying to get more to you. God trying to keep you from walking in the anointing you have? No, he's trying to get more on you.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Revelation 3. Look at verse 7, please. And to the angel, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shut it, no man open. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee what? An open door. Can any man shut it?
No
man can shut it. For thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. We all know John wrote this, but who's speaking? Thank you, Jesus. Because most Bibles, how many of y'all remember the old red, I still have, the red letter edition Bibles. What's that mean? So John, even though John wrote it on the island of Patmos, who's talking? So Jesus said, he said, I'm he that has the key of David. So who is that? That's himself, right? Jesus. Then he says, he that openeth, no man shut. Shut it, then no man open it. Everybody say open and close doors. In the assemblies where I grew up, we used open and closed door for guidance. We'd say, God, if you want me to do that, open that door. God, if you don't want me to do that, close that door. But then, you know, as we all become acquainted with the teachings that God gave Brother Hagin by revelation when he appeared to him, he taught us out of Romans 8:14 about the ways that God will lead us. Number one way, the inward witness, right? Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by open and closed doors, they are the Christians.
No,
that ain't what it says, is it? For as many as are led by what?
Spirit of God.
Spirit of God. Who's that group?
Sons of God.
So should any Christian learn to develop, be led by the inward witness?
Yes.
I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost helping my wife and I. Early on, we didn't know the voice of God. And I can remember making some decisions, and they didn't work out too good. But my wife, being the kind of person she is and the way she helped me, she never said, "I told you so." She would always tell me, "We'll do better next time."
Right.
But Jesus said in John 10, "The voice of the good shepherd I know, and another voice I'll never follow."
Yeah.
One thing you can remember, if you think God's told you to do something by the inward witness, and it never pans out and it never works, don't forget what that voice sounded like. Never forget. Then if you think something tells you to do something and you do it and it works, never forget what that sounds like in your spirit, man.
Amen.
The voice of the good shepherd, we know. And another voice, what? We don't follow. So we're led by the inward witness. Right? Not by open and closed doors.
Right.
Okay. So, if you don't mind, flip over to Matthew, please. Matthew 25. So, Romans 8:14, and you've read that Bible verse. Remember, it talks about the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit. Right? So, I mean, the number one way we're led is by the inward witness. Is that correct?
Yes.
Open and closed doors?
No.
No. But are there open and closed doors?
Yes.
Must be. Jesus said so.
Yes.
Who opens doors? Jesus and the Father. Why would they open a door? Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done." When I stand before Jesus, I want to be like Brother Hagin. I want to be granted an abundant entrance. I don't want him to say, "Well..." Really, I'm serious. I don't want him to say, "You barely got here. I really wish you'd have found my plan." I don't. I don't want him to tell me that. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and what?
Faithful,
faithful servant. Thou hast been what?
Faithful,
faithful over what?
Faithful.
I'll make you ruler over what?
Faithful.
What brought the increase? So, anytime you and I, that God or the Lord Jesus would open a door, it must be because we've been found faithful. Never for guidance. That's the Holy Ghost job in you. Somebody gives you a word. That's why all the time we ask people if a word of knowledge or even a word of wisdom comes concerning the future. We ask them, "Does that mean anything to you?" Why? Because you got the same Holy Ghost anybody else does.
Yes.
If you're born again.
Yes.
We're never led by prophecy.
Amen.
That was weak as branch water, y'all. I said, we're never led by prophecy.
Amen.
We ain't led by prophets.
Amen.
You're led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Some prophet says something to you and it don't bear witness with your spirit, put her on a shelf or throw her out. Either one. Because you got the same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. So we're not led that way. We're led by the inward witness. So, but these open closed doors, God and the Lord Jesus said they'll open because one has been found what? You ever had, if you ever seen this, where's that lady that got that last one I had? She's in here. There she is. She got the last one. She scooped it up. But this is Kenneth E. Hagin's book. They don't have it at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, but you can find them on Amazon. You can find them. We ordered a bunch more. We've been carrying these for 2 years now. Says Jesus, the open door. I want to read you just a few things out of here. Page 81. Jesus opens wonderful doors of service for us. When we are obedient to walk through the doors of service the Lord opens to us, we will be amazed at the rich spiritual growth that will take place in our own personal lives. God abundantly rewards those who are obedient to do His will.
Amen.
However, It is amazing to me how many believers want to do something for God, yet they are waiting until they can do something big for Him. But if they won't do something little for God, they won't ever do anything big for Him. Now listen to this part, please. That's why it's so important to start out serving God wherever you are. Whatever small door He opens for you, walk through it. So He can open bigger doors of service for you. Then I'd like to read you just another little bit, if I may. Sometimes people say, God didn't call me to preach, so there's nothing I can do for Him. But there are doors of service to be opened for every person in God's kingdom. Whatever door of service God opens for you, now listen, if you serve Him faithfully, you will be rewarded just as richly as those who are called to serve in a pulpit ministry. Sometimes people think that because someone stands in the pulpit and preaches, that person will be rewarded immeasurably beyond anyone else in eternity. Aren't you glad God never rewards according to office? But He rewards according to what? Thank you. If you are faithful in whatever God has told you to do, you will be rewarded for your faithfulness. God does not reward people according to position. He rewards them according to their faithfulness to obey Him. There are doors of service. There are doors of healings. But there are also doors of utterance. And this is what He's been talking to me about. And I never understood when Paul said that, pray for me that there would be doors of utterance granted in Colossians. We're tapping into some things. We're getting into services and the glory of God will come in like it is. And we'll begin to see things and we'll see stuff out ahead that we ain't never saw before in the Scripture. But God gives us utterance. Now, here's the thing. If you would, please, go, if you would, to Nehemiah. Chapter 9, please. Nehemiah chapter 9. Look with me, if you would, in verse 7. Nehemiah 9, 7, please. Is that clock right tonight or is it an hour behind? It's what? Is it 8 or 9? Okay. Nehemiah 9, 7. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram, broughtest him forth out of Ur, the Chaldees, and gavest him the name Abraham. Look at verse 8, please. And foundest his heart, what?
Faithful
before thee. If you don't mind, say it like this. This took time. It didn't say that God chose Abraham and says, whoo, he's a faithful man. It said He chose him. And then he said, found his heart to be faithful over a process. So often people come to church like I did. Ex-alcoholic, ex-druggie, ex-crazy. We come, we get saved, we come to church. And we get to thinking, can God ever use me? How many of you know God will choose you? I don't care where you've been, what you did. The blood is enough. But here's the key. He'll choose you, but it takes time to see if you will be faithful. He chose Abraham, and he foundest him to be faithful. Most people know this, some don't. But Terah was Abraham's father. He had three brothers. There were three boys. One of the Lot's dad, and there was another one, and then Abram. And the Bible says that Terah was an idol worshiper. And Joshua 24, if you look up back in verse 23 at the end, it says that God told Terah to go into Canaan's land. And he got into Haran, and it said he stopped, and he died there. And as soon as he died, God told Abraham, get out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, and go into Canaan's land. Or go into a land I'll show you. When he left, listen, when he left Chaldee, he was an idol worshiper. But God chose him, and he found his heart faithful.
Amen.
I don't care how raw you are, how green you are. If you'll let God direct you,
Amen.
He can get you to where he needs you to be.
Amen.
People think I've messed up my life. And all. Nah, if you're still alive, you're okay. Amen. Glory to God. See, we didn't even start till I was 30 years old. I was rough as a cob. Amen. I mean it. Whew. Man, look what the Lord has done. I'm still a little rough around the edges, but we're getting better. Between God, the Holy Ghost, my wife, we're making it. Now, go back to 1 Samuel 2, please. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. 1 Samuel 2:35. Say praise God when you get there, please. God says, or the writer here says, I will raise me up a what kind of a priest? Then let's see what faithfulness is. That shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. That's the definition of faithfulness. It's not diligence. Doing it the way God has it in his heart. Now, let's go back. God says, I want you to help with the nursery. You be like, I don't like kids. And if I wanted kids, I'd have had my own. And so they quit. And then they wonder why they struggle financially.
Got lights.
No, I'm playing. I wasn't talking. Some of y'all were like, oh God. Help, Lord. So are we doing? Are we back? No, I'm playing. Okay. So anyway, are we back on? So anyway, God says, I want you to work in a nursery. And you'll be like, I don't like kids. If I wanted kids, or I had kids,
yeah.
And they're gone. And I don't want no more.
That's the one we hear.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why in the world God would want you to go to the nursery.
Amen.
He don't have to explain.
Right.
Probably there's some little quirks in you that need to be worked out. Because he's desiring to move you on, but if he moves you on with them quirks, you'll probably end up slapping somebody. Look at somebody and say, I really think he's preaching to you by the way you're looking. But I ain't sure. And we won't do it. And then we'll get up in here. I trust you, Lord, I do. But see, the thing that he's desiring is he knows what's ahead of you. You and I don't. And shouldn't the potter have the right to mold and to shape us? Sometimes there are things that'll go on in society, and if we're not in that, if I can say it like this, in that groove or in that norm, people think sometimes something's wrong with us. But very often God will lead us in a way that is so different than the way everybody else went. And there's a reason. Because you're going to be a different type of vessel. You, stand up, please. Glory. Do not be concerned nor even don't allow your mind to go there. For you see, I am the one that's directing your path. You have allowed me to work in your life. And there have been times when perhaps you've thought, God, why? But then you would say, oh, no, 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 I'm not going there. Because I know I'm doing what God has said to do. There was an angel that stood by you all ago when the presence of God came. And he said, minister to her. So that's what I'm doing. By help from him and the Holy Ghost. But there are things in your future. Sometimes when the Bible talks about Isaiah wrote, and he said, on the day of the Lord, he said, I was high and lifted up. And we know that has to do with spiritual things. I was high and lifted up. What's that mean? He could see further than he normally could because he's at an elevated place. As I stand here before you, I'm in an elevated place, and I can see some things. I saw some things a while ago, and I can see some things now that are in yet your future. But as God is directing and leading, guiding you, don't ever allow anyone to come along and cause you to question. You're solid, you're settled, and you know you're doing what God's told you to do. But don't ever allow someone to come because you're not the norm. There's something that God has for you, as he does for all. But yours will be unique. And there are some things that he has desired to take you through so that when you arrive, you'll last. And you'll be able to live there where others have entered, but then they couldn't stay. And they fell away. There is an office that's calling unto you. But God has to find you faithful. That means whatever he tells you, these different things that he will tell you to do, do them. And I know we all think, or I should say I have thought before, God, why are you taking me and Sally there? Why do you want me to do that? I've thought that, but I've learned I can trust him. And normally by the time I get through something and get to the other side, there was some stuff in me I needed to get out of me. There was some stuff that I needed to separate from. So that there were some things that could be separated unto. And then there would be things added. Greater degree of an anointing, greater degree of utterance. Our voice in the body of Christ perhaps would be greater. Different things, whatever God would say, for he's our master. So from this night forward, recall and remember the things that were spoken to you by the Spirit of God, if they bear witness with your heart. Hold steady to them. There was something that was written to Paul, about Paul, or Luke recorded it about Paul, and this is what it said. When Paul was on the ship, and they give up all hope that they would make it, do you remember what the angel said to him? Fear not, Paul, because in the beginning, God told him, you'll stand before Caesar. He hadn't stood before Caesar. So the angel's reminding him, you ain't going to die in this sea. Even though everybody else on the boat thinks they're going to drown, going to be shark food, I'm not dying out here. I ain't stood before Caesar yet. And I've trusted God with my life. I won't say a lot, but there were some, they had to be separated, for they would not have helped the anointing. It looked good and it sounded good, but God is the only one that looks on the heart. And I never understood why God said what he did about the oldest brother to David when he stood before Samuel. Samuel said, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands before me." And he said, "Man looketh on the outside. I look at the heart." Nobody knew that when David was up there, when he took food to his brothers on his daddy's request, nobody knew that that biggest brother, who was giant, he was a tall guy, nobody knew he'd be hiding out behind a rock, scared of Goliath. If God would have made him the leader, he'd have led Israel into defeat. But nobody knew what was in that man's heart except God. That one guy, he would not have helped you get to where God needs you to be. Okay? You know what he's talking about? Okay, good. I think I do, but I ain't sure. So, Father, we thank you now. Glory to God forevermore. You see, that's why I had to get to this place, because God had talked to me about this. We had to get there. I was on an assignment. So we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory. There's a Bible verse. You all help her remember it. It's in the book of Peter. Brother Hagin would read it. He says, after you have suffered a while, that you might be established. But one of the things that Brother Hagin would say, he'd say, look at that last word. He'd say, settled. And then you know how Brother Hagin would laugh. He'd go, ooh. And he'd say, you know why I'm so settled? Because of the stuff that God led me through. Because he's talked to me about my voice that would be to the world. He had to be settled. He couldn't have been moody. He couldn't have been flighty by every wind of doctrine. He had to be settled. Why? He's going to be one of the main speakers for the body of Christ. Going to be some things you'll suffer. But aren't you and I glad we know we'll never suffer with evil. Glory. Glory. I don't know if anybody's ever told you any of this or not before. Have they? No? Amen. Well, if it bears witness with your heart, good. I know that's always a good word. Woo, glory, we're going to get to suffer. Hallelujah. But we know it's not with trouble. Brother Hagin would tell us in Luke 4, he said the Holy Ghost led Jesus to the wilderness. And he said, I know it's there. He said, I know Word of Faith people don't like to believe it, but he said it's there. But God will never lead us into evil. Never. There might be some hard places. Sister, would you please stand up? Glory. Come right out here in the aisle. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. You told me that you're back on track. I'm excited for you. Amen. Glory to God. The reason God had to talk to Abraham the way he did is he said, get thee out of Ur, the land of the Chaldees. Sometimes he's got to get us to a place where our thinking can be increased, where we'll be stretched. I highly recommend you consider leaving the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. Now, you've got the same Holy Ghost I do. You do. And you know the voice of the Holy Ghost. But I would encourage you, check and see what the Holy Ghost says. For there are things. Do you believe the hand of God's on you for good? Yeah, I do too. God want to do great things through you? Yeah, I do too. I sure do. But sometimes there needs to come separation. We got to go someplace where we can be expanded and we can be strengthened and we can be helped. Okay? What's your name?
Amy.
Amy. All right. Glory. Now you say, I don't, I'm not telling you to do nothing but check with the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. You're not led by me. I don't want that responsibility. I'd mess your life up. I would. But the Holy Ghost, He knows what He's doing. So we thank you. It is a new day for my sister. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. My dear brother, would you please stand? You go to church here? Good. Appreciate you. Thank you for coming and being faithful. Glory. There are some things that, if this is right, seems that God's talked to you about. And it's not that you're rebellious or anything like that. You're like, Lord, I'll do that. And the reason of it is this, sir. Your voice in your family is greater than you think. You carry a wider range of influence than you think. There are those that watch you closely, and they do listen, even though they really don't want to act like it. Okay?
Amen.
Is this all right?
Amen.
Okay. But the hand of God is on you. If I can say it like this, as a leader, to bring many of those out.
Amen.
And to bring them in. Into the blessings of God. Now, I understand, and you understand, people have a free will, and we can't make them. We just can't. God doesn't. We don't. But by example and by love, there's two I see that kind of frustrate you at times. If that's okay. Is that all right?
Amen.
Okay. But those, the reason that they respond the way they do is because the Holy Ghost is truly dealing with them. Okay. Is this all right, sir?
Amen.
Is it okay? Is it mean something to you?
Amen.
Okay, good. We like to check. I'm wanting to make sure it wasn't something I drank before I got here or something. Amen. Water or something. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for my brother. And I appreciate men that are men.
Yes.
And I thank you that his voice is greater. And the expansion of it is wider. And I thank you. Now there's a reason why God wants you to help him come out. Number one, he loves them. He don't want them to go that way. But number two, there's some things that God wants to do with you in the future. This is, if I can say, proving ground. Jesus.
Oh.
Mighty.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Glory. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. Glory. Well, if you would, let's just raise our hands up and say, thank you, Lord, for your help. Lord, thank you for your help. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Any of you over in this row here got something wrong with your leg or your hip? Anybody in this area over here?
I have four screws in my ankle.
Oh, you do? Which one? Glory to God. Thank you, Master. Fasimbidigee. Now, Master, I thank you for the healing power of God. But, Lord, we understand this is a miraculous workings. You've talked to us about that as we're faithful. Do what you tell us to do with everything, that this would increase. So we thank you. them things, whether they dissolve, turn to bone, whatever happens, that we thank you that the ankle be functioning exactly proper in the mighty, majestic name of Jesus. And Father, we give you all glory, all honor, and all praise in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Is there somebody in here that's kind of been harassed? It's out of the realm of the spirit, but you've kind of been harassed. Things agitate you. Sometimes you don't understand why. They agitate you. Different things. Glory to God. Over there. Hallelujah. Glory. All right, y'all come. Stand right over here, please. Glory. Hallelujah. Stand right here. Glory to God. Glory. Glory to God. Go! In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you. Glory to God. We're on a different place. We're in a different place.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' mighty name. Glory. Glory. We thank you, Father, the voice of the good shepherd we know, and the voice of another we will not follow. Glory to God. We'll hone in on your voice. We'll hone in on that. That's the Holy Ghost. That's it. Okay. We'll hone in on that. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Glory. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father. Where's Jeremiah at? Glory to God. Come help me. Glory to God. Father, we thank you now. Mighty name of Jesus. Mata Gisi. Mata Gisi. Mata Gisi. And we thank you. Yep. We shore up. And we close, and we thank you. That's dealt with in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am. Harassed. Yeah. And we thank you, Master. Glory. Oh, Father God, thank you. We thank you, Father. In Matthew 18, it says that, shall not their angel always be before my Father's face? Thank God Jesus asked Brother Hagin, well, you didn't lose your angel just because you grew up, did you? Jesus said, well, I don't guess. Sister, there are certain things that angels are to do. They're never to be worshipped. They're never to try to be replaced for Jesus. They are servants. So I thank you, Father, for the angels of God that encampeth around about my precious sister.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And we thank you that they stand with her. They stay with her as all. So we thank you The thoughts that would try to come
Hallelujah.
Are of the enemy, but the ones that are present are of our Father. So stop it in Jesus' name. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. What can we do for you? Do you need something?
Talk to you. It's kind of new at this. So you
yes, ma'am. Don't be embarrassed at all, please. And we don't mean to embarrass you or anything like that. What can I do for you?
Well, I just recently went through a divorce, and it's just a rough road with my daughter at home and her dad and different, just
yes, ma'am.
Mess.
Okay. All right. Is it okay if we pray for you?
Sure.
Okay. Father, we thank you now for this mom and her daughter. And we thank you, Father God, tonight that we call upon the Holy Ghost to give us the help and the strength that perhaps we have never experienced before. First and foremost, we take authority over every spirit, because the Bible talks about in James, says that where the spirit of strife is, there's every evil work. Well, that means that through the avenue of strife, every other evil type of spirit has entrance. That's why we hate strife. That's why God hates it. Well, perhaps there was some strife and different things that had come. So first and foremost, what we do is we remove the tumult by the authority of the name of Jesus. Strife, stop now in Jesus' name. I got you. See you. Stop it. Now, Father, we thank you. Things will settle down. And we thank you for the peace of God. And Lord, I thank you for the supernatural anointing of God by the Holy Ghost to overshadow her, her home, her family. And we thank you that in the days to come, we'll still be able to remember what these times were like. But oh, glory to God, it'll only be in memory, not in reality. Because it will be removed far from us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. My sister, you can open up to God. And he's okay. He'll never hurt you. And he'll not do anything that he said he wouldn't do. Or he said he would do. He will always do that. You can trust him. And right now there's some things that's built to protect yourself. And I understand. But you can trust your Father. And he did his best that he could. But people have a free will. Okay? He loves you. He wants the best for you and your daughter. Amen. Appreciate you coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Well, what was that song we sang a while ago?
Our God is an awesome God.
Can we sing that again? Stand up here, please. Glory. Just because you're a mama, just because you're honey to Chris, you know there's some other things you are to God. Right? Don't you just... Thank you, Lord. Appreciate it. So walk in there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. What about that song? Y'all want to sing that song, Our God's Awesome? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think I'm done, Brother Jeremiah.